All right, let's turn tonight to the book of the Revelation, last book of the Bible. As we continue our study on the books of the Bible, does anybody have when we started this written down in your Bible anywhere? You do? What you got, Roberta? Huh?
11, 14,
all right, November 14th. 2012. Wow. And 19 months. Yep, 66 books in 19 months. I was sick a couple of those, and I was on vacation a couple of those. We had revival meetings a couple of those, but other than that, every Wednesday night, we have taken the next book, and we are now at the end. I got a bunch of people asking me, what are we going to do now? And, we got a whole Bible here, okay? Now we know what's in it, so now we can kind of zero in on a few things, maybe. I don't know what I'll do next. I don't have direction on that yet. I have some things on my desk that I've found connected to prophecies out of the Old Testament about Christ coming back, some things that have tied in. I don't know if you have been looking outside of just the mainstream media, but if you go outside the mainstream media, I said to you back in 2010 and 11 when we were doing this series on the second coming of Christ and tied it in to Islam, I told you then that the Middle East was on fire. You just multiply that by tenfold today. This administration has completely fouled up everything that was done in Iraq. They went in there and rebuilt the country, spent trillions of dollars rebuilding the country, and then just left. Just left. They walked away, and now the Al Qaeda and all that bunch have moved back in. The city of Mosul in southern Iraq is literally being purged. It's literally being purged. They are killing non-Muslims. They are just literally going house to house and shooting people, women, children, the men folk. If you're not one of them, you're dead. And nobody's lifting a finger. Now, we signed an agreement saying that we would go back and help if they got in a jam. And the president over there, Maliki or whatever his name is, he has been begging. He's been on the phone. He help and nothing, no reaction, nothing. The Middle East is literally a raging inferno right now, and they are systematically wiping out any and all evidence of Christianity in all of the Middle Eastern countries. It's not just in Iraq. It's all over the Middle East and in North Africa. So I got a few things that I've discovered and read and found and ties in with prophecy. We may do that. I don't know. We'll see. Others said, let's just go verse by verse through Revelation. I don't know. Y'all know that book by now. You ought to know it by now. You're going to know it after tonight, if I ever get to it. But just all kinds of things going on. Anyway, we'll start here in Revelation. Now, let me get to this, because if I don't, it'll keep you longer than you should be here. You know, there's tornado warnings out tonight. Yeah. Well, it is Wednesday. I mean, church night, so I should not surprise anybody. All right, let's begin in chapter 1, please, if you'll look at your Bible. Chapter 1, Revelation. Now, notice the title of the book. What's it say? The Revelation. It's not revelations. It's not plural. It's not a bunch of revelations. One revelation. The Revelation. All right? I don't know why little things like that drive me nuts. I've heard preachers get up, turn to Revelations chapter 1. All right. You know, the older I get, the worse I get. That's true. Oh, man. I was telling Greta in the office today, I went in the house, was opening the windows the other day, and there's two windows, one over our sink. I opened the one window up, and then I reached over and opened the other window up, and when I turned away, I noticed they weren't even. I had to fix it. All right, verse 1. The Revelation. Not a whole bunch of them. There's only one. This is it. The Revelation. So when anybody comes and tells you, I've got a revelation. No, there's only one. All right, there's only one. Well, God told me what was going to happen. No. God told John what was going to happen. There's one revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words and of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. All right, now look, please, at verse 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Look, please, at verse 17. John said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, past tense, the things which are, present tense, and the things which shall be hereafter. All right, now go all the way over now to chapter 21. chapter 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Look at chapter 22, verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. All right, now did you notice three times in the book? Three times. John tells us that Jesus said of himself, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, you remember that numbers mean something in the Bible. And three is the number of completion. Three times we are told that Jesus said of himself, he is Alpha and Omega. Now, when I read the book of the Revelation a couple of weeks ago, I saw that and I said, whoa, wait a minute. Evidently, the theme of this book is connected to the fact that Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, we're only going to do a summary tonight. I don't have time to get into all the chapters. If you want to write down a couple of things, it'll help you study the book of the Revelation if you have not already studied it. But I can give you some things tonight that I think will be helpful in you studying this book. I have heard a lot of people say, I read the book of the Revelation and I don't really understand it. Well, if you'll listen tonight and you'll write a few things down, it'll help you to understand what the message of this book is. All right, very quickly, let's pray. Father, help us tonight. I pray that you will guide and direct and help us to understand why this book is in the Bible. May we see its foundation. May we see its theme. We know that it has to do with the end times and what is coming after the church is raptured to heaven. We know that it describes the tribulation period and it describes the millennium and all the things that will happen. But Father, help us to see how it all fits, how it all ties together, how it connects with what we've already learned about all the Old Testament prophecies and the prophecies that were spoken by the Lord when he was here that are recorded in the Gospels and those things that Paul and Peter added. I just pray that you will help us to tie together the great theme of the second coming of Christ tonight. So bless us now and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we now come to the final book of the Bible. And as I said a moment ago, for some reason, this book scares people. And they do not read it. They do not study it. And they miss one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life. I mean, if you'll just look at chapter 1, verse 3, you will see that a blessing is promised from the Lord to those who read the book. When you read the book, it's the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing if you read it. So that ought to be encouragement for all of God's people to read the book of the Revelation and to learn what God says in this great book. There have been several schools of interpretation that have developed through the years. And of course, as you can imagine, these different schools of interpretation have given way to a great deal of heated debate and also to much confusion. We're not going to worry with all that tonight. It's really not relevant to us understanding what's in the book. However, I will tell you that what I'm going to present to you tonight is the premillennial position. And that means that the Lord is coming back before the millennium. All right, you've got premillennial, before the millennium. And I believe that this book teaches us that the Lord Jesus is physically coming back to this earth pre-millennium. All right, so I'm not going to get into all the rest of them with you. There's post-millennial, and they say we're in the millennium now, and that Christ will come back at the end of the millennium. Well, if this is the millennium, I'm very disappointed. I can assure you that. Then there's the amillennialist, meaning no. And those are the folks that say there's not going to be any millennium. We don't get where you see that. Well, how about 1,000 years? That's where we get it. And the Lord said that he would reign for 1,000 years. All right. So, but the amillennialist, and then there's the panmillennialist. And basically, those guys say, don't worry about it. It's all going to pan out anyway. We are pre, or I am pre. I hope you are too. And I interpret the book in that light. All right, now notice the word in chapter 1, verse 1, Revelation. That word simply means an unveiling. You look up the word in your English dictionary and you will see that the word revelation means an unveiling. And that's what this book is all about. If you look at the first phrase in the book, it is the revelation. It is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It is the final book of the Bible. And I want you to notice that the attention is immediately focused upon the person of Jesus Christ. Please see that, folks. That is so vital. The attention, right off the bat, in the first verse, the attention is immediately focused upon the person of Jesus Christ. It is the final word on Jesus. The final word. And it shows that Christ is not finished yet with this world. He is not finished yet with mankind. You see, we've already studied all the previous books of the Bible over the last 18 months. We've already seen in all those other books, Old Testament and New Testament alike, that the Lord Jesus, that God told us the Lord Jesus is coming twice. He came the first time as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to bring wrath and judgment upon those that have rejected him. And so he's come the first time, but he has not yet come the second time. And this book is telling us he's coming again. And it tells us who he is, the one who is coming. So it is the final word. And it is an interesting fact that this word revelation is only mentioned in this phrase. This is it. In 1:1. The revelation. That's it. That's it. The word is not found again in the book. And when you study the book, you find out that it is indeed an unveiling of Jesus Christ. It unveils the person of Christ. It unveils the power of Christ. And then it thirdly unveils the purpose of Christ. The power, or the person, the power, and the purpose of Jesus Christ. Now, the simplest outline is in the text. It's in the book itself. You don't have to read through the book and say, How do you outline this book? No, John outlined it for you in chapter 1, verse 19. He gave you the outline. He told you what he was going to do in the book. And what he does is he writes of things past, verse 19, the things which thou hast seen, and that was Christ in heaven. Then, and that's chapter 1, and then secondly, the things which are, that's present tense, and that's chapters 2 and 3, where we have the seven letters to the seven churches. That's the church age. That's now. That's today. I happen to believe that we are in the last days of the last days, and the last days is the Laodicean church. And I think we're in the last days of the last days. And then, thirdly, John writes of things which shall be hereafter. After what? After the church is gone. And that's chapter 4 through the end of the book. So John outlines the book for us. He tells us what he's going to write about. In God's plan for the last days, there are 5 major events that are going to take place. These are all found in this book. They are the things, point 3 of John's outline in verse 19. And there are 5 things that John then tells us are going to happen. I have given you this many times before. Number 1 is the rapture. The rapture. And that's chapter 4. Chapter 4. You look at chapter 4 real quick. He said, after this, I looked up after what? After the church age. After the present. He said, I looked up and a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come what? Up. Up. The Bible always talks about heaven as being up. Come up hither. Come up here. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So the first thing that John discusses is the rapture. That's the next prophetic event to happen on God's calendar. We're in the church age now. There is no 8th church. You get to 7, Laodicea, that's it. There is no 8th church. So at the end of Laodicea, the trumpet sounds and we go up. All right? So rapture. Number 2, ruin. R-U-I-N, ruin. And that's the tribulation period when the wrath of the Lord will be poured out upon this earth. And John tells us that it will happen over a 7-year period, 7 years of tribulation. So you got rapture, chapter 4, verse 1, ruin, and the ruin is a 7-year long period, and it is described in chapter 6 through chapter 18. That's the tribulation period. Ruin. Number three, rapture, ruin, return. That's the literal second coming of Christ to the earth. And by the way, all of us who were raptured out and those that are already in heaven, we're coming back with him when he comes. You say, why are we coming back? We're going to help him fight for one thing. I can't wait for that. I just can't wait for that. It's just my nature. I want to get right in the heat of it. So, rapture, ruin, return. And that's chapter 19, Revelation 19. So you got rapture, ruin, return, reign, R-E-I-G-N, reign, 1,000-year millennial reign. That's chapter 20. And then the 5th event that is discussed in this book is the restoration, the new heaven, the new earth, and eternity. Sin's gone, the devil's gone, the curse is gone, death is gone. Amen. 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 I got to tell y'all something. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Karen got up real early this morning. She had to do an interpreting job, and so she got up real early this morning. And about 6 o'clock, she has an alarm clock on her side of the bed, and I have an alarm clock on my side of the bed. And so, because we don't ever get up at the same time, and it takes an act of God to get me out of bed in the mornings. So, but anyway, I'm laying there this morning at 6 o'clock, and she's got her set to where it plays some classical music. And it's, I don't know, it's something by Mozart or Beethoven or somebody, but it sounds like angels' wings flapping is what it sounds like. And at 6 o'clock this morning, I start dreaming, and I thought, I'm in heaven. And all I could think of was, where's Larry? Seriously, where's Larry? And I'm looking around, and then I realized that it was that alarm clock, and I reached over and I smashed that thing off. It's a wonder it still works, but I had to tell you that. We laughed about it, and Karen said, oh, I hope the Lord tells him that. He will die laughing. Where's Larry? Where's Larry? Where was I? Restoration. All right, new heaven, new earth. That's chapter 21 and 22. All right, now, you now can take those two outlines, chapter 1, verse 19, and then the five R's that go with point 3 of chapter 1, verse 19, and you can lay that down in front of you with the chapter identifications, and you can read the book of the Revelation, and you have a real good understanding of what's going on. Okay? Now, that's God's plan. The book of the Revelation ties together all that the Old Testament prophets told us about Jesus coming to rule and to reign over the entire earth. As we learned a couple of years ago, Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and all the minor prophets told us that Jesus was coming the first time to die for sin, but that he would, in the last days, come again. He's coming again. When he comes again, all those prophets told us he's going to do battle with Satan against the Antichrist, the beast, and his false prophet, and that Jesus would destroy the beast and his amassed armies with the brightness of his coming. And the book of the Revelation ties all of those prophecies together. And they show us that God is not yet finished with mankind. Now, if you remember John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh. Now, who was the Word? The Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Oh, yeah, what kind of glory was it, John? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John tells us that this Jesus Christ, this God, came and dwelt among us. And those that study this stuff and have written the commentaries on all this, they tell us that the word dwelt is the same word that is translated tabernacled in chapter 21. Look at chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Look at verse 1. It says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, what's the next word? Tabernacle. All right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came and dwelt among us. And they tell us that the same word is used here, but it's translated tabernacled. Jesus tabernacled once in his first coming when he came. He dwelt among us. But now here at the end, the Bible says that we are going to be with him and we will tabernacle with him. We're going to dwell in his presence. He's going to be, he is going to be our God. Folks, the whole process of God dealing with man began when the Word, who was with God and who was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And that process will end with the ultimate victory in 21:3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. So the point is, God's not done with us yet. Oh, we got so much to look forward to, folks. I mean, and the time is at hand. All right, now, let's go back to the first chapter. John unveils the person of Jesus Christ. Who is it that John is unveiling? Look at 1:2. Chapter 1, verse 2. He tells us he is unveiling the testimony of Jesus Christ. How many of you have a testimony? Say amen. 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 Yeah, if you're saved, you got a testimony, don't you? All right, John said, I'm gonna give you Jesus' testimony. I wonder what John's going to tell us about Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what he's going to tell us. He's going to tell us three times that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is... Look at verse 4. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come. He was here, then he was not here, but then he's coming again. All right? He is the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha is the A in the Greek alphabet. And the Omega is the Z. It's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He is the first and the last. All right? You remember Moses said, God, who do I say has sent me? And God said, you tell the people, I am hath sent you. I am that I am. The self-existing God. The eternal self-existing God, the one who has no past, no future, he just is eternal. That blows your mind when you think about it. And so I am. Now, he's Alpha, A, he's Omega, Z. If he's first and last, he's every other letter in between. How do you write words? You use an alphabet, an A through Z. So he is the Alpha and the Omega. I am, and you just take the alphabet. If you can't find in the Bible, and there's a lot of times where Jesus said, I am the door, I am the resurrection and life, I am the bread, I'm the light, I'm the good shepherd, and he's a lot of things. But if you read the Bible and you say, well, I need the Lord to be, well, just go to your alphabet. He's the first and the last. If he's the first letter and the last letter, he's all the letters in between. You just pick whatever you need him to be and write it in there. I am dot, 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 dot. And that's what God is. Did not Paul say, but my God shall supply all your need. Not needs, need, singular. One great big package. God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So What's he describing here? He is describing Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega. In chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, when he uses this phrase, he's talking here about the second coming. In chapter 21 and verse 6, when eternity begins and Christ has overcome all sin and death and the devil and everything else, when Christ has defeated sin, he again says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. Then the third time in chapter 22, verse 12 and 13, when after the unveiling is completed, when John is finished unveiling Christ, as he's closing the book, he quotes the Lord Jesus, who again calls himself the Alpha and the Omega, and basically is saying, hey folks, let me challenge you here. What has been written that I said is going to happen is going to happen. So you better get prepared for it. All right? So you better get prepared for it. And that is the unveiling aspect of this book. John reveals the person who is going to bring all of this that is in this book to pass. He unveils that person. And he says, let me show you who this is. He's the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. He is God incarnate. Every prophecy, every type, every promise, they will all be fulfilled in him. For he's the Alpha and he's the Omega, the first and the last. Look for a moment at verse 4 in the first chapter. Look at that for just a moment. Notice that John tells us that he is affirming grace and peace upon us, and that that grace and peace is from him, Christ, which is, which was, and which is to come. And I want you to see that this verse very clearly states to us that the person being described here, who we know is the Lord Jesus, is absolutely and without question, he is positively deity, God in the flesh. This person, Jesus, is God in the flesh. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, folks, you read this book and you say, wow, how's all this going to happen? It's going to happen because Jesus is going to see to it that it happens. Don't forget who he is. And John's point is, he's God. All right? Look at 21. Go back to 21 real quick. Let's look at the second one. In 21, all right, the first Alpha and Omega in the first chapter shows us that he is God. The second shows Christ dwelling with his redeemed. Right now, we live by faith. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Theme four times in the Bible. Remember that? The just shall live by faith. Old Testament, book of Habakkuk, and then Romans, Ephesians, and Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. Right now we live by faith. But look at 21 verse 6. In 21:6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. This one shows us that the day is coming when we are going to see him as he is. And our faith will be turned into sight. And verse 3, we will tabernacle, we will dwell with him for all eternity. So he's the author of our salvation. He is the finisher of our salvation. All right? Then look at 22 verse 12. In 22 verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. Now, the revelation is over. He's unveiled Christ. And now he's going to preach a little bit before he closes the book. And basically what he does is he shows us that this Almighty God, this eternal God, who is the first and the last, he's coming again. And he says, I, Jesus, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, I have sent mine angel to testify unto you that I am coming again. And so through these three verses, where I am is the key, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. Back in chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, you ask the question, who is this one who loves us so much that he redeemed us with his own blood? Jesus. You ask the question, who is the one that has made us kings and priests, out of chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7, so that we can rule and reign with him? Jesus. Jesus is who that is. Who is this one who is coming to deliver us who are saved and then judge the world? It's Jesus. That's John's point. He's unveiling for us who is running this show. And Jesus is doing it. Back in chapter 21, who is this one who will defeat the devil's confederated kingdom and destroy it to nothing but rubble? It's the Alpha and the Omega. It's the God who was and who is and who is to come. In chapter 22, 10, 11, 12, 13, who is this one that you and I are to look for to come back, and who gives a solemn warning to the world that the world had better wake up from her spiritual apathy and get saved now, because one day it's going to be too late to get saved? Who is this one giving this warning? It's Jesus. The person of Jesus Christ is unveiled for us in this book. For you see, folks, what you are when you go out into eternity, that's what you'll be throughout eternity. You check out of this life lost, and you will go out into eternity lost, and you will be for eternity lost in that lost condition forever. Sobering thought. But that's what chapter 22 and verse 11 is teaching us. You don't get it right now, there's no second chance. You cannot get into hell and then say, whoops, Lord, change my mind. I believe in you now. No, too late. Too late. And you've been warned in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life. So, folks, the time to make your calling and election sure is now. In this age of grace called the church age. All right, secondly, the book reveals the power of the person. I told you that John reveals three things. He reveals the person, he reveals the power, and then he reveals the purpose. Second, this book reveals the power of the person. You know, from the beginning to the end of this book, you cannot help but see the unlimited, unbridled, and unending power of the person of Christ. John goes into great detail to show us the power of the devil in chapter 6 through 18, when he's describing the ruin period, the tribulation period. And John goes into great detail to show us the power of the devil as he works unhindered during the tribulation period. You say, why unhindered? Because the church is taken out before it starts. When we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. And it is the Holy Spirit that is holding back the devil right now. although the devil is getting stronger and stronger by the day. And he directs all of his power and all of his effort against God and against God's people, the Jews, and against Christians, those who will be saved during the tribulation period. And you read in the book, through beasts, through dragons, and with great power given unto them by the devil himself, they will unleash a reign of terror upon this earth and upon the inhabitants of this earth. But John shows us the power of Christ is able to subdue and to defeat all of the devil's efforts. Nothing the devil can do is able to conquer the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this is one of the things that the Palestinians and the Arab nations around Israel cannot for the life of them understand. Since 1948, no matter what they've done, no matter how many soldiers they amass and how big their armies get, and no matter how much firepower they bring against Israel, they have never, since 1948, when Israel became a nation, they have never been able to defeat Israel and drive them out of the land. And they just can't understand that. I mean, Allah is supposed to be all powerful, you know. I mean, they outnumber the Jews 1,000,000 to 1, and they still cannot defeat them. And the devil will empower the Antichrist with signs and powers and lying wonders. The might and the power of the Lord, however, will once again prevail. And when you get to the 19th chapter, here he comes out of the clouds, and the devil and the Antichrist and a false prophet wiped out. Powerful. And then 3, this book unveils the purpose of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that purpose? Folks, it's right there in 21:3. The purpose is that so that Savior can one day dwell among his people. That's what it's all about. It's all about us being with him. You see, God is to dwell among men, and man is to be blessed in God, and God is to be glorified in man. When Adam sinned, man lost this ability for fellowship. But when sin is defeated, we will see man once again dwelling with God and God with man. In 21:1-3, we see the heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to dwell among men. And the point of the book is that what we lost in Adam, we regain in the second Adam, in Jesus. So the point is, this thing's not over yet. God is not through with mankind yet. Folks have forgotten the God of their creation, forgotten the Bible. And John even adds at the end, he said, hey, at the end of chapter 22, he says, where is it? He says, verse 18, he said, don't add to the book. Boy, a lot of people need to pay attention to that. Don't add to it. But he also said, don't take away from it. Folks, all these modern translations, all these new translations of the Bible, you know what they do? They take away the deity of Christ. They take away the virgin birth. They change virgin in Isaiah to a young maiden. They change the deity of Christ. They change it. So don't add to and don't take away from the word of promise. And that is exactly what this bunch of liberal New Bible translations do. They remove all these things, and all they're doing is bringing down the wrath of Almighty God upon their heads. Revealed is the church age in this book, the rapture, the ruin, the return, the reign, the restoration. New heaven and new earth. It's all revealed. And make no mistake, it is a loving, powerful, merciful, yet just God who brings all this to pass. No man who reads this book expects that the earth will be won over simply by preaching the gospel. We're to preach it, but that's not what it's going to take, because men are sinners and they shake their fist in the face of God. They've done it since the beginning of time and they're going to do it again. They're doing it now. So what's the book tell us? It tells us that the earth is going to have to face the wrath and the judgment of God Almighty Himself. God will have a double harvest. There will be a number akin to the sands of the sea, which will be convinced, and many of them martyred for trusting Christ and resisting the devil during the tribulation period. Folks, I've been here in America. I've been here in America and asked people, if you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Heaven? What are you talking about? Well, you believe in God, don't you? There's no God. Well, you believe in His Son, don't you? No. They have no idea. I've been in China, and you ask people, do you believe in God? Who? God. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, God, our Creator. Sorry, never heard of Him. Well, have you heard of His Son, Jesus? Nope. No clue. And it's those people that are going to hear the gospel from the 144,000. You see, that old sinner who went to church every Sunday and sat under that liberalism, and that old sinner who sat under the Living Bible and Revised Standard Perversion and all the rest of them, that old sinner is going to one day go, where did open door people go? And the headlines in the Baltimore Sun, suspected alien abduction, millions missing. Yeah, it's alien to them. But it's not alien to us. And it's going to happen. Because the person who is the Alpha and the Omega is going to bring it to pass. And that's Revelation. That's how it ends, folks. Us with God. Now, isn't that ironic? When it started, it was us with God. Huh? That's how it started. It was us with God. And then you remember what happened? Adam sinned. And when he did, God came down. Adam went and hid. Adam, where are you? Well, we're hiding over here. Well, did you sin against me? Well, Lord, it wasn't my fault, it was her fault. God looked at Eve and said, young lady, what do you have to say? Well, my fault's that serpent's fault. And the devil's standing over there laughing. And that put the barrier. And then the rest of the Bible is how Jesus is coming to fix the sin problem. And the rest of the Bible is, wait a minute, He's coming a second time. Well, folks, we're here. The day of the Lord is at hand. You better get ready, because it could happen tonight. And once again, we will be dwelling with Him. I can't wait.